You know, whenever a massive new piece of technology suddenly drops into an established industry, there is always this awkward gap.
Right, like a lag between the tech and the rules.
Exactly. It's that incredibly messy space between rapid enthusiastic adoption and actual enforceable regulation. But I was looking at a statistic today from our source material that just, I mean, it completely blew my mind.
Yeah, the numbers are pretty wild.
Because this isn't just a small gap, you know, we are looking at a complete chasm. Right now, as of a May 2026 industry analysis, 97% of Australian mortgage brokers have absolutely no written AI policy.
I mean, it is a genuinely staggering number,
Yeah.
especially when you pause to consider just how heavily regulated financial services already are.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think documentation would be second nature by
I
now.
thought the exact same thing. And well, the data actually gets deeper than that. Let's look at the breakdown here. 65% of those brokers have no documented strategy for AI at all. Yeah, and 40% have zero governance framework. Just nothing. A totally blank slate. And this is while they're simultaneously using some of the most powerful disruptive technology we've ever seen to handle massive financial transactions.
And see, that blank slate isn't just an administrative oversight anymore. It is quickly morphing into a massive operational risk. So, welcome to the deep dive.
Yes, welcome.
Today, we are pulling from a really eye-opening May 2026 article published in the Broker Times, and it's simply titled "The AI Governance Gap."
Great title, very to the point.
Right. And our mission today is to figure out exactly why this governance gap has suddenly become a ticking time bomb. We're going to look at how regulators are actively hunting for it right now and how the solution is actually surprisingly simple.
Yeah, we're talking one single page of paper and an afternoon to fix, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's unpack this because a topic like compliance and governance usually makes people's eyes glaze over.
Oh, totally. It sounds like corporate busy work.
Exactly. But this is actually a fascinating snapshot of an entire industry getting caught completely flat-footed by rapid technological change.
It really was.
So if you are listening to this and you are navigating professional services today, whether you're a broker, an accountant, or just, you know, dealing with client data, consider this your crucial survival guide. You need to know this stuff.
Absolutely. You cannot ignore this anymore.
So let's move from that crazy 97% statistic to the immediate real-world consequences. Why is this suddenly a massive near-term problem and not just something to worry about, say, 5 years down the road?
Well, because the timeline has completely compressed, there are three very specific, very powerful forces converging right now,
Yeah.
and they're turning this into an immediate audit pressure point.
Okay, so it's no longer theoretical. What's the first force?
The first force is ASIC, the Australian Securities and Investments Commission. They're currently conducting a massive BD review.
Ah, BAD, that's the best interest duty, right?
Exactly. The legal obligation for a broker to prioritize the client's interests. They're actively examining file documentation across six national aggregators, and they have explicitly flagged the use of automated tools in product recommendation as a key area of inquiry.
Wait, I want to pause there because that phrase, automated tools in product recommendation, that feels very deliberate.
Oh, it's extremely deliberate.
I mean, it sounds like ASIC isn't just passively waiting for complaints. They are actively shining a flashlight into the filing cabinets looking for an AI footprint.
Precisely. They're actively hunting for it. Which brings us to the second force, which is the aggregator level audits.
Okay, the networks.
Right, the big players. Networks like Plan, AFG, Connective, Loan Market, and Outsource Financial, they have all introduced strict compliance questionnaires over the past 18 months.
And I'm guessing they aren't being subtle about it anymore.
Not at all. They're no longer beating around the bush. They are asking the question directly on the form, where is your AI policy?
Wow, just right there in black and white.
Yep. And if a broker answers no, or, you know, tries to skip the question, that triggers an immediate follow-up from the compliance team.
So the safety net of anonymity is just gone. Your aggregator is forcing you to put your AI habits on the record. But why the sudden urgency from the top down?
Well, that leads directly to the third force, which really pulls this out of the abstract realm of just like compliance paperwork and into the terrifying real world.
Okay, I'm braced. What is it?
The CBA, the Commonwealth Bank, recently launched a $1 billion fraud probe.
$1 billion. Yikes.
Yeah. And what they uncovered changed the landscape entirely. They found a sophisticated wave of AI-generated payslips, AI-fabricated employment letters, and highly convincing AI-manipulated bank statements.
That is wild. But I mean, to play devil's advocate here, fraud has always existed, right? People were photoshopping bank statements back in 2015. So why does AI change the regulatory math so drastically?
Because of the scale, the speed, and the friction, or rather the lack of friction.
Right. It's just so much easier now.
It's exactly. 5 years ago, creating a convincing fake bank statement required specialized software and hours of careful pixel manipulation. Today, the operational reality is that generative AI, capable of creating a flawless, fraudulent bank statement, is sitting right there in a web browser.
And it's, what, accessible for like $20 a month?
Exactly. Anyone could do it in seconds.
That makes total sense. Let me try an analogy here to see if I'm tracking. It's like hiring a brilliant, lightning-fast intern who also happens to be a pathological liar.
That is a great way to put it.
Right, because you wouldn't just take that intern's work and forward it directly to a client without reading it first. You'd double-check the math. So it sounds like regulators just want to see the red pen marks proving you actually checked the intern's work before you rubber-stamped it.
Spot on. And what's fascinating here is that regulators ASIC, the aggregators, they aren't actually asking brokers to unplug the AI. That's a huge misconception in the industry right now.
Oh, really? People think they're supposed to stop using it.
Yeah, a lot of people are panicking. But regulators know that technology drives efficiency. What they are asking for is evidence of considered judgment.
Considered judgment? I mean, that sounds great in a boardroom, but what does that actually look like in the trenches? If I'm a broker staring at a screen, how do I actually prove considered judgment?
It basically looks like a visible paper trail of verification. Let's say you use an AI tool to summarize a 40-page, incredibly complex lender policy document.
Which is exactly what people are doing every day.
Right. But the AI hallucinates. It gets confused and summarizes the loan-to-value ratio incorrectly. The regulator wants to see a file note showing exactly how you, the human broker, verified that AI's output before you used it to recommend a mortgage product to a family.
Gotcha. So if you have no overarching AI policy, you just have no defensible answer when the auditor sits across from you.
Exactly. They're going to ask, what is your standardized process for checking this? And if you say, I don't have one, you're in trouble.
I see the vulnerability there. The auditor isn't just looking at the outcome. They're looking at the mechanism. But here is where my head goes next. Regulators are clearly looking for deliberate, conscious AI use. But what happens when you don't even realize you are using AI?
Ah, yes. The invisible trap.
Right, because the source material details some very specific tools brokers love right now. Things like Quickly's Jiffy AI for policy lookup, SalesTracker 2.0 for document classification, Scale Connect, and of course ChatGPT for drafting client emails.
Yeah, those are the obvious ones. You definitely know when you log into them.
Exactly. But the article talks heavily about a massive blind spot, which is embedded AI.
Yes, the invisible AI buried directly inside our daily workflows. This is where the risk multiplies exponentially.
I need you to break that down because I'm putting myself in the shoes of a busy listener who might think, oh, I don't use AI for mortgages. I just use regular old Outlook for emails and a basic CRM.
Well, the bad news is the AI is already inside the house.
Right. How is that happening without people even knowing?
Think about the software updates that just roll out automatically. Microsoft Outlook Copilot is now actively drafting email replies by default in many enterprise tiers.
Which is super helpful, but yeah, it's AI.
Exactly. Google Workspace is automatically summarizing long email chains at the top of your screen. Customer relationship management systems, your CRMs, they're sitting in the background of your Zoom calls and auto-generating meeting notes without you even asking.
Okay, but if the software is just doing its job and being helpful, where is the actual breach? Like, how does an auto-generated meeting note turn into an audit nightmare?
It all comes down to the architecture of how these AI models process the information you feed them. And that leads directly to the single biggest data trap in this entire landscape.
Okay, what is it?
It's the critical distinction between consumer-tier AI and enterprise-tier AI.
Oh, man. I need to pause you there because this feels like the kind of blind spot that could literally ruin a business.
It really could.
If I'm paying for a premium ChatGPT account versus using the free version on my phone, is the AI actually treating my data differently? I just assumed it was all pinging the same server in California.
It is pinging the same server, but the legal agreement governing that ping is completely different. If you are using a free consumer tier version of ChatGPT or Google's Gemini, those systems are designed to train on user inputs by default.
Wait, really?
Yes. That is literally how the parent companies improve the models. They ingest your prompts, break them down into weights and parameters, and bake them into the next version of the AI.
Okay, wait. So, practically speaking, if I'm in a rush and I pull up a free ChatGPT account in a new browser tab to quickly draft a client email.
Which happens all the time.
Right. And I type in something like, hey, draft an update to John Smith. His salary is $150,000. His driver's license number is X. And he's looking for an $800K mortgage from ANZ. Am I technically feeding his private, personally identifiable financial data into a public AI brain?
You absolutely are. You are taking highly sensitive, heavily regulated financial information and handing it over as free training material to a public learning model.
Oh, yikes.
And the OAIC, the Office of the Australian Information Commissioner, they do not view that as a minor tech glitch. They view it as a massive data breach.
Have they actually gone after people for this?
Oh, yes. They have already sanctioned organizations for inadvertent data exposure through consumer AI tools.
Wow. So what about the paid versions?
Conversely, if you are using paid enterprise tiers like ChatGPT Team, Gemini for Workspace, or Claude for Work, the terms of service generally dictate that they do not train on your data. The data is ring-fenced.
Okay, that is terrifying because it is so incredibly easy to make that mistake innocently. It's not malicious. It's just a broker trying to save 10 minutes on a Tuesday afternoon.
Exactly. It's an honest mistake with huge consequences.
But if I am using that free consumer tier, how do I actually fix it? How does a busy broker actually anonymize a client's financial profile without making the prompt completely useless? Do I just use fake names?
This raises an important question about operational reality. To properly anonymize, you have to strip out anything that could realistically identify the person.
So no names, obviously.
Right. No names, no exact home addresses, no specific employer names, and definitely no account numbers. You have to prompt it with generics, like draft an email to a client with a mid-six-figure salary looking for a standard variable rate.
But honestly, the mental gymnastics required to perfectly anonymize every single prompt, that just sounds exhausting.
It is exhausting, which is why silence on this issue is exactly what triggers an audit.
Wait, what do you mean by silence triggering the audit?
If your brokerage doesn't have a written policy addressing this, the auditor has to assume the worst. If you allow the use of consumer-tier AI for anything at all, you must explicitly mandate those strict anonymization rules in writing.
And if you don't?
If the document doesn't exist, the auditor assumes your team is just throwing raw client data into public chatbots.
Okay, the anxiety is officially high. We've got ASIC breathing down our necks, invisible AI hiding in our email clients, and accidental data breaches just waiting to happen because someone wanted help phrasing a difficult email.
It's a perfect storm.
It sounds like an absolute nightmare to clean up. Honestly, you'd think you need a team of highly paid tech lawyers and a 100-page manual just to cover your bases. But the article lays out a solution that is almost suspiciously simple.
It really is.
Let's transition from the panic of compliance to the mechanics of the actual fix. Talk to me about this one-pager.
It is genuinely simple, and I think that's why people are skeptical at first. It is just a five-question framework. The underlying premise is that a broker can sit down, take about 2 hours on a Friday afternoon, truthfully answer these five questions, save it as a PDF, and instantly have an audit-ready AI policy.
I love a tactical framework. Let's walk through it. What's the starting point?
The first step is defining your approved tools. You need to explicitly list on paper the specific AI platforms your brokerage permits.
So the obvious ones plus the embedded ones like Outlook Copilot.
Exactly. But crucially, it's not enough to say what you can use. You have to clearly state what is prohibited. If you don't want your team using the free version of ChatGPT for client data, you write down. Consumer tier ChatGPT is strictly prohibited for client files.
I can see the logic there, but enforcing that sounds like a nightmare. How do you actually prove your team isn't secretly keeping a tab of consumer ChatGPT open on their second monitor to cut corners?
Well, you can't please every monitor perfectly, but the policy shifts the liability. If a team member breaches a clear written directive, that is an employee conduct issue.
Ah, I see.
But if there's no directive, it's a systemic business failure. Hmm. The auditor cares about the systemic level.
That makes a lot of sense. You're basically drawing the boundary lines on the playing field. Okay, so once I've drawn a fence around which tools my team is allowed to use, I imagine the next problem is how they use them. Because using AI to spell check a generic newsletter is fundamentally different from using it to analyze a complex credit history.
Exactly. And that brings us to the second part of the framework, defining approved use cases. This is where you draw the line between where AI is allowed to assist and where human broker judgment is absolutely mandatory.
Right. Give me an example of that line.
For example, you might write down that AI can be used to summarize 50-page lender policies or classify incoming PDF documents in the CRM. But you must explicitly state that AI cannot be used to make actual final product recommendations.
And definitely not for identity verification, right?
Right. It cannot be used to verify if a client's identity document is authentic.
I like that distinction. The AI can organize the desk, it can prep the files, but it absolutely cannot sign the final check.
That's a great way to look at it, which naturally leads to the third component, output verification.
Yeah.
This is the core of what ASIC is looking for.
Which is how the AI's work is being cross-checked before it permanently becomes part of client file.
Sure.
I was wondering about this because creating a whole separate verification form for every single AI query sounds like it would destroy the very efficiency the AI was supposed to create in the first place.
Oh, it would be impossible.
Yeah.
But the article had a great, super practical example for this. You don't need a massive checklist.
Okay, what do you do instead?
You can just add a single line to your standard CRM file note. Something like, policy summary generated by Quickly Jiffy AI, cross-checked against ANZ broker policy page.
That's it, just one sentence.
That's it. One sentence proves you didn't just blindly trust the robot. And that one sentence is literally all the auditor is hunting for. It is documentary evidence that a human was in the loop. It proves considered judgment.
Wow, okay. That's very doable. So what's the fourth step?
Moving on, the fourth component tackles the data trap we explored earlier, client data handling. This is where you lay down the law.
So this is where we ban the free stuff.
Yes. You must write down that your firm mandates the use of paid enterprise tiers for any tools touching client data. Or, if you stubbornly want to use consumer tiers, you must write down that you strictly enforce the removal of all identifying information before a prompt is entered.
So it's right there in black and white. No names, no exact addresses, no specific account numbers in the free version. Got it. What is the final piece of the puzzle?
The fifth and final question is accountability.
What?
Because, you know, a policy is just a piece of paper unless someone's in charge of it. You have to name a specific owner.
Let me guess. If you're a solo broker,
congratulations, it's you.
Of course.
But if you're a larger firm, it's usually a compliance lead or practice manager. And their primary job is to be responsible for a quarterly review of this document.
Now, I'm putting myself in the shoes of a solo broker listening to this right now. They are already absolutely swamped with compliance burdens from every direction.
Oh, I know. It's a lot.
So hearing they have to be the designated accountability owner and review this entire document every 90 days probably sounds exhausting. Why quarterly? Why can't this just be an annual box to check like most other compliance forms?
Normally, annual is fine for most things.
Yeah.
But you have to remember how incredibly fast this specific technology moves. Tools like Quickly and SalesTracker aren't updating once a year. They are pushing major capability-changing software updates 2 to 4 times a year.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. A tool that couldn't read bank statements in January might be fully analyzing and summarizing them by June. And annual reviews simply cannot keep pace with that release cycle.
So if you wait 12 months, your policy is just completely outdated.
Exactly. It will be referring to software capabilities that are completely obsolete.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. It's the sheer contrast between what we assume regulators want and what they actually want in practice.
Yeah, there's a big disconnect there.
I have to push back a little on behalf of anyone listening who has ever survived a grueling corporate audit. Does an aggregator auditor really, truly prefer a customized single piece of paper over a thick, 30-page, incredibly dense legal template downloaded from an expensive consultant? It feels like volume usually equals safety and compliance.
I know, it's a common misconception, but they absolutely prefer the one-pager.
Really?
Yes. Auditors do not need an ISO 27001-level technical document. That's a massive, complex, international standard for information security meant for huge tech companies, not a local mortgage brokerage.
That makes sense.
What auditors actually hate are generic 30-page templates that are clearly copied and pasted from the internet, shoved in a digital drawer, and never actually read or understood by the staff.
Because it just proves you bought a template, not that you actually changed your behavior.
Exactly. A clear, customized one-pager that is physically signed by the team, reviewed every 3 months, and most importantly, consistently applied in those CRM file notes. That carries infinitely more weight. It shows actual, lived behavioral change, not just box ticking.
That is incredibly relieving. It means you don't need a law degree. You just need to understand your own workflow.
Exactly.
Okay, so at this point, we've solved the immediate compliance threat. We've built the one pager. But the source material doesn't stop there. It pivots and it connects this required defensive busy work to a tangible, proactive business advantage.
Right, moving from risk to reward.
Exactly. We move from just playing defense to playing offense.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the strategic edge of having this governance sorted.
There are three very tangible, proactive benefits that come out of doing this exercise properly. The first is referral power.
Referral power, how does that work?
Well, think about the broader ecosystem a mortgage broker relies on. Conveyancers, accountants, financial planners.
Yeah, they are all swimming in the exact same muddy, technology-driven waters. They are all dealing with incredibly sensitive client data.
And they are all probably secretly terrified of their own AI governance gaps.
Oh, for sure.
Precisely. Now imagine when you, as a broker, sit down with a referral partner and proactively hand them your clear one-page AI policy. You say, just so you know, here is exactly how we protect your clients' data when we use modern tools to speed up our processing.
Oh, wow. That is a massive credibility signal.
It really is. It instantly positions you as the smartest, safest, most forward-thinking operator in the room.
That is brilliant marketing disguised as compliance. You're leveraging your own paperwork to build trust.
Right.
So what's the second benefit?
Operational efficiency. When you actually sit down and force yourself to answer question number one listing your approved tools, you are essentially conducting an audit of your software stack.
Right. You have to actually look at what you're paying for.
Exactly. Most businesses doing this suddenly realize they are paying monthly subscriptions for three different AI tools that all do the exact same thing. Or they realize they're only using 10% of the features on a platform they pay a premium for. Writing the policy forces you to trim the fat, consolidate your tech, and actually save money.
So what does this all mean? I look at it like this. It's like frantically cleaning your house from top to bottom because you heard the local health inspector is coming over.
Right. You're doing it entirely out of fear and panic.
Exactly. But once it's done, you realize the deeply clean house actually makes you dramatically more productive every single day. And when guests finally do come over, they are incredibly impressed by how put together you are.
That is a very apt analogy. And it bridges perfectly to the third benefit, which is building compliance muscle.
Compliance muscle. I like that.
The physical habit of write the policy, have everyone sign it, file it, and review it every 90 days. That is a structural muscle within your business because AI regulation isn't the last hurdle.
Oh, definitely not.
Right. When the next big regulatory demand comes down the pipeline, whether that's a massive cybersecurity overhaul or an AML CTF, an anti-money laundering and counterterrorism financing refresh, your team won't panic. They already know how to adapt to new rules quickly.
The panic is gone because the actual mechanism for change is already built into the culture of the office.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the real lasting value of this one pager isn't just surviving the next ASIC review in 2026. It is building structural credibility.
Which is everything in professional services.
Exactly. If a client's file ever goes wrong in the future, if there is a dispute, a misunderstanding, or a fraud issue, credibility is the hardest thing in the world to rebuild. This simple one-pager is your structural defense. It proves you cared about the details.
So let's bring this all together for you, the listener. The core message of this deep dive into the Broker Times article is, well, it's surprisingly optimistic.
It really is.
That terrifying 97% governance gap we talked about at the beginning, it is not a technology problem. You do not need to hire a Silicon Valley AI engineer, and you do not need to understand how neural networks operate to be fully compliant.
Definitely not.
It is simply a documentation problem. You just need considered judgment, five clearly answered questions, and a single piece of paper. 2 hours of focus time could literally save your entire professional accreditation.
And beyond that, it sets a solid foundation that will outlast whatever specific AI tool happens to be trending this month. It's about creating a timeless framework for evaluating new technology safely.
Absolutely. Now, I want to leave you with one final thought to ponder as you go about the rest of your day. We know AI isn't going anywhere.
That's for sure.
As it continues to embed itself more and more invisibly into every single tool we use, our email, our calendars, our CRMs, our phones, how long will it be before a professional's AI governance policy isn't just some internal document locked away for the auditor?
Oh, that's a great point.
Right. How long until it's the very first thing a prospective client asks to see before they trust you with their life savings?
Given how fast public awareness is growing regarding data privacy, it's a very real possibility. Moving forward, trust is going to require radical transparency.
Remember the intern. You wouldn't hand over your business to someone without checking their work. And you shouldn't let an algorithm run unchecked either. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.